After a trying year for sports, we've almost made it to Super Bowl Sunday. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers go up against the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. Veteran Tom Brady faces the young record breaker, Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs have a chance to win their second championship in a row, but Brady could snatch a seventh Super Bowl ring and victory for the usually terrible Bucks. Mike Pesca joins us now. He's here now as sports analyst and host of the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike, the big game is in Tampa on Sunday. It's the first time that a team has played on its home turf, although they won't have the full home crowd advantage. But how do the Bucks stack up against the Chiefs in this championship game?
Well, a home field advantage is at least is at least in play a bit. And it's not even so much that the stadium won't be filled with 70,000 people, but instead something closer to 20,000 people. I have noticed, by the way, that when you space these people out, it means that the stands in front of them are empty and they get to bang on the seats. So in a way, half a crowd is just as loud as a whole crowd, just because of the availability of the material for banging. But I do think, I mean, I'm over the moon about the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs offense is amazing. I almost said Wall Street because it seems like that, but Las Vegas agrees with me. The odds makers have set the Chiefs at about a field goal favorite. But beyond that, 60% of the money that has been bet is on the Chiefs, which sometimes makes me a little nervous. If something is so publicly popular, maybe the smart guys see an angle and an argument for the Bucks that I'm not seeing, since I'm, you know, I know something about football, but not so much more than the people who set the odds at Vegas. But the Chiefs offense is just so amazing.
I like the counterintuitive thinking there. As a long-time Tom Brady fan myself, Mike, and I can understand the mix-up, because I feel like if Patrick Mahomes were a stock, he'd be smashing IPO records. He smashed a lot of other records, right? I mean, he's one of the highest-paid athletes in the world. But Tom Brady is playing in his 10th Super Bowl here, Mike. So who do you think has the edge in this QB matchup?
Well, experience-wise, you'd say Brady. He is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But the season that Patrick Mahomes put together is just as good, if not better, than what Tom Brady did, as is last season. So there's no advantage. In fact, these are, in a way, and how you look at it, the two best players at the most important position in sports. Patrick Mahomes, just in physical gifts, and he also sees the game well. And Tom Brady, in experience, the absolute inability to ever be flustered. He came back against the Falcons in an almost impossible game. You will never get him out of the game mentally. That's as intriguing an aspect of this game as anything else.
I believe there's like 283 diamonds right on those Super Bowl rings to commemorate the 28-3 deficit that they came back from, right? So, and speaking of
not subtle,
big
right?
numbers
That's not
there,
DeMarco.
Yeah, I know, right? So how about, you know, off the field, Mike? I mean, you mentioned that it's going to be basically a half full stadium, 25,000 fans. What's the NFL doing to stage this game safely in the middle of a pandemic?
Well, they are doing that, and of those fans, a significant portion are first responders that the NFL has invited to the game. So there will be spacing. There will be masks. If you've watched NFL games, you know the masks often fall down around the nose, and then we do crowd shots, and people aren't masked well. But Raymond James Stadium is an outdoor stadium, which is incredibly significant. So it's not so much different than most of the other playoff games that have been played in outdoor stadiums this year.
Got it. Well, we're all looking forward to a little bit of a release on Super Bowl Sunday. But before you go, Mike, I do want to ask you a little about basketball, because we do want to note the passing of the legendary college basketball coach John Chaney, who spent decades building Temple University into a national power. What is his legacy on the game?
Oh, he was a legend, and a legend meaning he has this fantastic resume with over 500 wins at Temple and hundreds of wins before he even got there. And he took a small, somewhat beleaguered school and by dint of his personality forged them into, if not the best team in college basketball every year, the biggest nightmare in college basketball. He knew that he couldn't recruit the best guys, and he knew that Temple didn't have the best facilities. Their stadium was underground, and you began sweating as soon as you entered their gym, and the image of John Chaney screaming in his raspy voice on the sidelines with huge armpit stains, that is part of of the legend, but when I say they were the team that you wanted to play least, whenever they would do a tournament preview and Temple would almost always make it, even if they weren't a number two or three or four seed, people would point to them and say they are such a nightmare. They play such hard defense. They are just tougher than everyone else in college basketball, and that's John Chaney. That is a reflection of his personality. That is a reflection of his force of will. He was a legendary character and an excellent coach, and the game will be poorer for his absence.
Well, and you're giving me flashbacks with the imagery of John Chaney with the sweaty armpits. The thing I'll always remember, Mike, is you could tell how tense the game was based on the tie, right? Because as the game would tense up here, the tie would get lower and lower as he loosened it until it was practically dragging on the floor. Mike Pesca is here now as a sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike, thanks.
You're welcome.